morning, everyone, and welcome to this celebration of Holy Communion on the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Our opening hymn is number 51, Awake My Soul, and With the Sun, Thy Daily Stage of Duty Run. 51. Service of Holy Communion commences on page 201 in the prayer book. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God. Our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect and Readings for the Ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church. Open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 29, and continuing to chapter 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword, and they went in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so they would not without us be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The hymn number 539. Rejoice, O land, in God thy might, his will obey, him serve aright. 539. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 12.
Glory
Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. O God, our Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, give to each one of us in this place today your Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is speaking to two groups of people in that gospel reading. First of all, he's speaking to his disciples in rather harsh terms. And then he speaks to the crowds. And I want just for a moment to look at both those groups and what he was saying. But just to keep you alert, I'm going to do it the other way around, so to speak. I want to look at what he said to the crowds first, and then what he said to the disciples. I'm sure most of you remember, as even I do, Red Sky at Night, Shepherd's Delight, Red Sky in the Morning, Shepherd's Warning. Like farmers everywhere in Galilee, also the seasons and the times and the weather had to be watched carefully. And that's basically what Jesus is saying to these crowds. You can look at the weather and you can tell what's coming, but you don't know the times that we're living in. Jesus wants these people to know the special times that they're living through. Now, what does he mean by that? In fact, you may know this, but you didn't come to church for a lesson in Greek, but there are two words in Greek for time. There's the word from which we get a chronometer or chronology, the general time. But the word that's used here is a very specific word, which means a special time, the word kairos, a special time, a specific time. And that's what Jesus is talking to the crowds about. He's saying to them, you need to know that these are special times, times of opportunity. And what did he mean? Well, he was reminding them yet again that he was the promised Messiah, the one whom God had sent as Savior of the people. And by the people, he meant not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles, both Jew and Gentile. He had come as the Messiah and the Savior of all. Now, the message there for us today is that never before has there been a greater need than in our times to reach people for Jesus. Because no longer, as you well know, and you just have to look around you, and it's the same everywhere in this diocese this morning, no longer do people come willingly and gladly to church. There's a complete breakdown between the church and the community. And unless we in the church reach out to people, serve people, help people, make ourselves known to people, they are not going to come and sit like us Sunday by Sunday and worship together. There's a real challenge in this message. We can no longer expect people to turn up in church as they once did. And unless we as a church community, a church family, individuals, have a way of engaging with people who have no interest in church, didn't grow up through Sunday school, weren't accustomed to being brought by their parents to church, unless we engage with those people, and I believe the best way is to offer to serve those people, to care for those people, not what can you do for us? Will you come to church? Will you come to us? No. What can we do for you? How can we be of service to you? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Someone has said that the world can do almost anything better than the church. The world can build schools, can build hospitals, can build homes, but there's one thing that the world cannot do, only the church can do, only you and I can do, and that is to offer people grace. Now, what do I mean by that? To offer people grace, to offer people the possibility of a fresh start, a new beginning. That's what the good news is about. That's the opportune time that Jesus has introduced by coming into the world. An alternative, a better way, a new direction. And if you pause for a moment and think of the situations where a new direction, a new beginning, a fresh start would make all the difference in the world, in human relationships, in family relationships, in church relationships, and certainly in national and international relationships. A new beginning, a fresh start, a past put behind us is desperately what we need. So that's the first thing that Jesus says. There are people to reach. Now, when he turns to the disciples, he says these very stern words. I have come to bring fire on earth. Do you think I came to bring peace? No, I tell you, I came to bring division. Now, what he means by that is, if you follow me, if you continue as my disciples, you will face opposition because your values are not the values of the world. There will be division. There will be division even within families. And that's the way it is. And the church is meant to be different. Everybody knows the word ecclesia, I'm sure. It's not just an insurance company, by the way. But ecclesia, the word for church, ecclesiastical, means called out. Called out. And as we heard read this morning, if we run the race that is before us, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And what the text there actually says is not just our eyes fixed on Jesus, but looking away to Jesus is the word. Looking away from the values of the world and the standards of the world, looking to Jesus. Then inevitably we will have to cope with the challenge of those who disagree, of those who see things differently. And it will cost us. It was Billy Graham, I think, who said, well, he said, your checkbook is a theological statement. But again, we've got to think today, well, what's a checkbook? Maybe it's your bank statement is a theological statement. It says where our priorities are. What does the annual report in the church say about the world and about the needs around us? Is it all about us? I spent a lifetime looking at trees and drain pipes and fences and walls and the amount of time that we discussed on those things. Someone once said to me that there are only two types of issues in a select vestry. One is the issue of nuclear proportions, and the other is the issue of church gate padlock proportions. And we'll spend hours on the church gate padlocks because everybody knows something about them. We spend about 2 minutes on those things of nuclear proportions because we don't really know about them. What are our priorities and our values? They should cost us. What does it cost me to be a follower of Jesus today? What does it cost you? It was King David in the Old Testament who said, I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. So there are people to reach and there is a cost to pay. I suppose in a way it could well be summed up in a very familiar prayer which I used to hear at school. We had a clergyman who better be nameless who used to come in and teach us or try to teach us RE. And I must now be very careful because I'm treading on thin ice. I've just realized that your organist was at the same school. But anyway, he was at it a long time after me. This clergyman always started the class and unfailingly with the same prayer. And at the time, we thought it was a formality. And what does it mean anyway? And you know, his life has gone by and he's gone to glory. And it's a long, long, long time since I was in school. But the prayer means more and more to me now than it ever did. And you know it. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost. To fight every schoolboy's dream and not to heed the wounds. To toil and not to seek for rest. To labor and not to ask for any reward. Save that of knowing that we are doing your will. Before us in this gospel reading, which in its own way is obscure and a bit startling, are those simple lessons. This is an opportune time for us, and there are people to reach, and there is going to be a price to pay if we are followers of Jesus. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, come to us in your grace and power today and make Jesus real to us. Teach us more about him, deepen our trust in him, that we may be changed into his likeness and become his witnesses in the world. For his name's sake, we pray. Amen. You know, just before I leave you and thinking of ways that we could serve, I can't resist commending to you a venture that I'm involved in myself with the churches in Newcastle, and it's called The Ark. And I will give you a leaflet as you leave church about The Ark. It calls itself a community garden, but it is much, much more than that. There's a farm shop, there's fresh vegetables, there's coffee and stuff that is all bad for you, but it is a service by the churches to people in need in the community. And it is incredibly well supported, and I do know there are people come from this area to it, and I would commend it to you, especially if you're open to the odd cup of coffee and delicacies, which, as I say, are bad for you. Let us stand. We affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. In our prayers this morning, we pray for the life and witness of the church across the world, the churches of this district, and this church family also. Lord Jesus, we pray for your church today and all who serve in your name. We remember especially those who worship in places of danger and conflict. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to proclaim the good news of your amazing grace, news that is relevant to the times and the needs of those who hear, so that all may come to know you as friend and Savior. Be near to all who serve and witness locally in this community, and especially to those who serve here in this church family. And we ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. And a prayer for the nations of the world. Heavenly Father, your will is to restore all things through the coming of your Son. Rule in the hearts and minds of those in authority across the nations of the world. And we pray especially for those who are deciding the future of the people in Gaza, the people in Ukraine, people in Africa, people who are homeless, hungry, destitute, worn down by conflict and war. Bring those broken and divided places into your plans and your will, and lead those who are in authority to a just and lasting peace. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. And we remember those whom we know in special need today, and we take time in the quietness to remember them. Heavenly Father, to whom alone is known the mystery of suffering and disease, hear our prayers for all who carry the burdens of sickness and pain, loss and sorrow, and especially those for whom we have prayed this morning. Draw near to each one today, according to their needs and your great love for them, and may they know your peace and presence day by day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And lastly, a prayer for ourselves. Lord Jesus, Master Carpenter of Nazareth, who on the cross with wood and nails did work our full salvation, wield well your tools in this your workshop, that we who come to you rough-hewn may by your hands be fashioned to a truer likeness of yourself. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. And the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us stand. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The hymn 507, put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure, hold it. 507. Let us pray. Be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right for us to give you thanks and praise. And so, with all your people, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man, and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Now to him who is able to do far more than we can ever ask for or think of, by means of his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. I think the only notices today were the magazine notes. You know who to give those to for the coming autumn edition, and also the Bishop's Bible Week at the end of this month in Hollywood Parish. Our final hymn is number 260, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing.